The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 7 through 17. If you know Me, you will know My Father also. From now on you do know Him and have seen Him. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know Me? Whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on My own, but the Father who dwells in Me does His works. Believe Me that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me. But if you do not, then believe Me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in Me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in My name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in My name you ask Me for anything, I will do it. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him because He abides with you, and He will be in you. The word of the Lord. I'm going to begin the sermon today by singing a song, and I'm going to invite you to sing along because I'm almost sure that all of you know it. And so when you sing along, please sing along with gusto as the song suggests. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. We hear he is a wiz of a wiz, if ever a wiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a wiz there was, the wizard of Oz is one. Because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. Love that song, right? Does this song not capture the feelings of the human heart in mid-skip as it approaches and responds to God? As it skips towards God in high expectations as we open our hearts and minds to God in worship. So let's change the words. Join me again. We're off to see our God. We're off to see our God, the wonderful God of gods. We hear God is a God of a God, if ever a God there was. If ever, oh, ever a God there was, our God of gods is one. Because of the wonderful things God does. We're off to see our God, the wonderful God of gods. Like our beloved friends in the land of Oz, and we are so like them, we set forth on the yellow brick road of faith, skipping. Because when we arrive, we are sure that God will do the following things. Load us up with what we lack. Fill full our enormous empty. Exchange our oh-so-human self with something oh-so-much more. And finally, provide a way for us to get back home or to be at home in our own skin. Who among us has not set out toward God with the high-skipping hopes of Dorothy, Scarecrow, Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion? We skip because of who we hear God to be. All-powerful, regal, shimmering and shiny with golden glory, wizard-like with extraordinary power and might. If anyone can meet our longings, our needs, it is God of gods. And so what do we do to prepare for our encounter with God of gods? Well, we fix ourselves up pretty. Just like Dorothy, Scarecrow, Tin Man, Lion, and Toto. In order to make ourselves presentable to God, we make a stop at, do you remember in the movie? the brush and mop up company. Now, sadly, sometimes the church is often seen as the brush and mop up company. We must look right, act right, sound right, smell right, and be right in order to be acceptable to God of gods. So after we've come through the brush and mop up company, we are at last spick and span ready. Our moment arrives and we enter into the presence of God. Our deepest desires, a heart, a brain, courage, a way to get back home will be granted to us. Our enormous empty filled full, our lack loaded up, our oh-so-human self made into oh-so-much-more, our skin made into a home. Each one of us has been there at some point, if not several points in our lives, on the brink of hoped-for spiritual fulfillment, where the susan, that little sip of anticipated satisfaction, is so sweet we can taste it. And that makes our first disappointment of faith all the greater. God of gods bellows back at us, not so quick. First bring me the broomstick. Do you remember? The broomstick of the wicked witch. This first disappointment is a necessary disappointment on our journey of faith. Each one of us, in other words, must face our shadow side, the wicked witch of our fears. We must wander in and be forged by a trip into the wilderness, just like the Israelites had to. We think home, the promised land, is just right around the corner, but we discover it's a little more elusive than we knew. And we don't like the wilderness. We resist and fear the wilderness. In the wilderness, our lack seems greater, our enormous emptier. The Israelites resisted the wilderness too. They said, dying in Egypt would have been better than dying out here. They would not trust the wilderness. They would not trust this God whose name was I Am. What kind of God is that? Give us a God like God, they cried. And so, in Moses' absence, fear caused Aaron to fashion an idol more suited to their image of a wizard-like God. It's not easy trusting the wilderness. We don't want to face the wicked witch of our fears, our mess of unruly desires. We don't want to let go of the idea of a wizard God who will magically give us what we lack. But in the wilderness, if we are willing, we begin to see God and ourselves differently. At first, our wilderness seems void of light and life. But just like standing still on a dark, moonless night, over time we notice there is more light than we ever thought, and our wilderness is not lifeless, but actually full of life. The dark is not as frightening or lonely as we feared. What happens for us in the wilderness, as it did for the Israelites, is that we distill our longings. We become able to name what's really important, and we discover our own strengths. These journeys into the wilderness activate in us the very things we long for. Do you remember in the movie, while on their quest to capture the broomstick, our friends in Oz developed the brains, the heart, and the courage they thought they were without? It is through our own journeys in the wilderness that God summons out from within us what God has already given to us. Yes, so all of us have journeyed in the wilderness some in our lives. We've all wrestled with the wicked witch of our fears. We've been perhaps in counseling. We've gone to spiritual direction. Maybe we've been through a 12-step group or support groups or Bible study and prayer groups. We've prayed, we've cried, we've toiled, we have persevered. And now we have a hard-won broomstick in our hands. A skip returns to our step. We are off to see our God, our wonderful God of gods. We've done our part. God, now please do yours. Our heart's desires, honed razor fine in the wilderness, are now at stake. Like Dorothy and her friends in the movie, trembling with hope, we lay the broomstick down before the God of gods and hope that our offering is acceptable. This is, after all, what God of gods asked of us. But do you remember in the movie? The broomstick isn't enough. There is a bargaining conditional quality dealing with a wizard god. A wizard god is never, ever satisfied. There's always something else that needs to be done first. More and more is asked of us. Come back tomorrow, the wizard said. We now fall from disappointment to disillusionment. Our longings, our needs will go unmet. And Dorothy, I think, speaks for all of us at these critical moments in our journeys of faith when she says, "Now I'll never get home." But the fall into disillusionment and despair is often followed, have you noticed, by another bounce of hope. Now that we've completely broken down and are completely contrite, hope revives that finally God will give us what we long for. The thick green doors open and we stand before the wizard, the God of gods. At this point in the movie and in our journeys of faith, we are now stripped bare of bargains and bravado. We are scrubbed clean of our pretty and our pretense. Now, at long last, we are ready. But we have not yet fallen to the lowest place of all. Do you remember what happens in the movie now? Toto, cute, lovable Toto, pulls back the curtain. The wizard, the wonderful God of gods, is a human being. "You humbug!" Scarecrow cries for all of us. "We don't like God being human. You're a very bad man," says Dorothy, reflecting what we hear in the Gospels. "You eat with tax collectors and sinners, Jesus. You're a glutton and a drunkard. You're a madman. You're a sham. You're not very religious at all, like we expected the Messiah to be." Jesus is a bad man and a bad Messiah, according to the rules of codependency of a wizard god and hapless human beings. The wizard's words to Dorothy are very telling at this part in the movie. He says, "No, I'm a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard." In his words and actions, Jesus refuses to reflect a wizard god. And we want God to be a wizard so often, to give us what we so obviously lack. But the unveiled wizard in this movie, and the unveiled wizard when we look at Jesus and see that's who God is, turns the tables on us. In the movie, the unveiled wizard gives symbols of validation of what is already within Dorothy and her companions. And in the words and acts of Jesus, we see him offering a deep sense of validation to others. The untouchable leper, Jesus touched. The outcasts, he invited them in. The unlovable, he loved. Everything in us that is untouchable, outcast, unacceptable, the entirety of who we are is embraced, validated, and loved by Christ. And then Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "And greater works than these will you do." That's crazy, right? What Jesus is doing is closing the gap. He became like us so we could become like him. The movie The Wizard of Oz is a rich metaphor for the journey of faith. The God of gods we first imagine is not really God at all. God is always beyond the God of gods in our minds. God is transcendent, yes. But yet, what we usually mean by saying that God is transcendent is that we make God more godlike than before. He is even more omnipowerful than he is already. But what is more transcendent than God revealed in human flesh? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When the curtain is pulled back, we find God is not nearly God enough for us in the ways that we thought God ought to be. And God is more than human enough in ways we never thought God could be. God believes in you and me more than we ever thought. So why shouldn't we? The Wizard of Gods, particularly as we see it in the movie, does not want to be found out. Do you remember? He says, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. But the God of all creation pulls back the curtain on Jesus and says, pay attention to this man. And pay attention to what this man pays attention to. The realm of love, the kingdom of God in your midst. What we do as humans is we tend to build up God to be a wizard. We also do it with pastors or spiritual directors or professors or mentors, our spiritual heroes. We've heard their faces shine like Moses. And so we skip to events where they speak or to their offices where they guide. We endow them with so much power. And we hope that they will give us what we lack. Thank God for Toto. The Totos in our life pull back the curtain. And we can then look at anyone and everyone. Why, you're just a man. You're just a woman. You're just like me. All this disappointment and disillusionment on a journey of faith causes our images of God and God's representatives, these idols of clay, to come crashing down around our feet. And there, finally, at last, we are looking in a very good place. This surprised me when I researched this sermon. One of the most universal symbols of liberty, freedom, and power and spirituality is the shoe. And upon our feet are ruby red slippers. The ability to be at home in God right where we are, with all that we are and all that we are not. The God image in the Wizard of Oz is spread around. God, the wizard, a figure of male energy, holds our big God projections long enough until we are ready to see the human face of God, the face of Jesus, which summons out and validates what God has already put in us. God, the good witch, a figure of female energy, directs Dorothy and her companions and us to turn inward. What do you notice within you? What have you learned in here? Our heart's desire is already in our own backyard. It's inside of us, because that's where God lives. Now, we don't often hear great things said from politicians, but let me give you one piece of insight that Joseph Lieberman once said. He said, the next frontier is not ahead of us. It's inside us. The final God image in The Wizard of Oz is those ruby red slippers, which, if you'll remember, Dorothy has worn from the very beginning. In other words, Dorothy has been in God all along, endowed with a God-given power, though she would not have believed it at the beginning, and neither would have we. But I think this is partly what Jesus is getting at when he says, greater works than these will you do. And it also gets at what Paul says when Paul says we will be like Jesus. Now, I think I've said this to you before, but it's worth repeating until we start to hear it deeply. Nelson Mandela, at his inaugural address in 1994, read these words from Marianne Williamson. See if this does not capture what Dorothy learned and what Jesus, I think, invites us into. Here are the words. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. I think God always starts out in our imaginations as wizard-like. I think we need God to be that way initially so that we will seek hard after God, that He might fill our enormous empty, because like Dorothy, we won't believe that God resides deep within. The journey toward an all-powerful wizard God, doing as He bids, even cowering before Him, is part of the process of finding the Christ who is within us, who has been with us from the beginning. When we wake up, as Dorothy does at the end of the movie, we too will discover that we are already home in God, and God is at home in us. We will comprehend, as the Apostle Paul puts it so wonderfully, comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. How is the curtain being pulled back on your God of gods? How is the humanity of Jesus welcoming you into your own humanity, wherein the fullness of God dwells? How is the path of your own life activating the very things that you think you lack, growing your wisdom, forming your heart, calling forth your courage? How is your disappointment and disillusionment with who you thought God to be helping you discover the ruby red slippers God has put upon your own feet? How are you already in God, already at home? One more chance to sing along with me. If happy little bluebirds fly way beyond the rainbow high, then why, oh why can't I? Amen. Let us sing now our sermon hymn.